This morning, I'd like to talk a little bit about the pursuit of happiness. Surely all of us want to be happy. It's something that, not always can be a state of constant happiness. It's very difficult to do that. But to live in overall happiness, at least more happiness than sadness, is something we should all strive for, right? I know it's something that I definitely want. If you'd like to open your Bibles, the basis from our lesson this morning will come from the book of Ecclesiastes, and you can just put your marker there. But if you ask different people what makes them happy, you're going to get a lot of different answers, right? Different people are going to give you different other people, different hobbies, different activities, lots of different things that make people happy. And a lot of these, there's nothing wrong with. Some of them, there may be. And we'll talk a little bit about those tonight, but some things we often hear that make people happy are time with our families, time hanging out with friends, more money, spending time in a particular hobby or activity, work, the physical work, not the spiritual, relaxation or vacation, sleep, a big house, a nice new car, going to a ball game or a concert or hunting or fishing. There's so many different things that a lot of people say make them happy. And these things very well might make us happy, but one thing they all have in common is they're all passing. They're all temporary things that will fade over time. If we're being honest with ourselves, they're things that really only make us happy for a very short period of time, and then they're soon forgotten about. And as humans, it's very easy for us to put our trust and our hope in the things of the world. There's nothing wrong with engaging in some of these things, spending time playing ball or doing whatever it may be. But when the problem arises for a Christian is when we put all of our focus on these things, when we spend all of our time, all of our money, when we put all of our dreams and our aspirations in these things, at that point in time, the things of the world can very easily consume us, and they can take God's place as the top priority in our lives. After all, we're told that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we know it's very easy for us to get our priorities mixed up. It's very easy for us to get caught up in the physical things, the going on in our physical life, the happenings in the right here and the right now. But really, at the end of our life, what's all that going to accomplish for us? In terms of getting to heaven, it's not going to accomplish really anything at all. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26 says, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" You see, all these physical things that we reach for and we strive for every day, in the end of our lives, when we're standing in judgment, it's not going to do anything for us. Oftentimes we hear people say that life is short, so enjoy it, right? You only live once. Well, how about eternity is very long, so we need to prepare for that. The book of Ecclesiastes is largely about Solomon's search for happiness and his search for purpose while he lived on the earth, and it's a very good place for us to look to find happiness because Solomon was very wise. He was wiser, in fact, than anyone who lived before him, anyone who lived after him, other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He was also blessed with many riches and wealth and honor, so much so that we couldn't even imagine. Keep your marker in Ecclesiastes, but just to confirm that, in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, starting in verse 11, it says, "God said to Solomon, because you had this in mind," he's talking about wisdom here, "and did not ask for riches or wealth or honor or the life of those who hate you, nor have you even asked for a long life, but you have asked for yourself wisdom and knowledge so that you may rule my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge have been granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings who were before you have possessed, nor those who will come after you." So Solomon really did have it all. In fact, the Queen of Sheba, she came to visit Solomon, and she was completely blown away. She was breathless when she saw his herds and his flocks, the gold and the silver that he possessed, the food at his table. And she wasn't just a peasant coming in off the street. She was a queen herself. So let's take a look at what Solomon found in his pursuit for happiness and see if we can find some application in our own lives today. The first place Solomon looked to find happiness was through earthly wisdom and knowledge. After all, this was his chosen gift, his greatest gift. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, starting in verse 16, we'll read there. It says, I said to myself, behold, I have magnified and increased in wisdom more than all who were over Jerusalem before me. And my mind has observed a wealth of wisdom and knowledge. And I set my mind to know wisdom and to know madness and to know folly. I realize that this is also striving after the wind. Because in much wisdom there is much grief. And increasing knowledge results in increasing pain. So Solomon first obviously went to his first chosen gift to find happiness. And he says in that search, it's just striving after the wind. When I think of that phrase, striving after the wind, I think of someone standing in a big open field trying to catch a breeze that blows by. Obviously, it's pointless, right? It cannot be done. It's just a waste of time. And that's what Solomon's saying here, that focus on earthly wisdom, earthly knowledge, it's not really where we're going to find happiness. You know, people all over the world get this mixed up on college campuses and other places. They think they're just the smartest people that ever live. They reach that for that next degree, that next little bit of recognition. But in the end, what's it going to do for them? The same fate is going to befall them that befalls the wise or the fool or whatever it may be. Continuing on that thought, in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, starting in verse 12, it says, so I turned to consider wisdom, madness, and folly. For what will the man do who will come after the king except what has already been done? And I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. And the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Pay attention to this next part. And yet I know that one fate befalls them both. Then I said to myself, as is the fate of the fool, it will also befall me. Why then have I even been extremely wise? So I said to myself, this too is vanity. In verse 14, we're told that one fate will befall all men. Fate's obviously death he's talking about there. It's something that none of us can get away from. Now, I attended Mississippi State University. There's nothing wrong with going to get a degree or a trade from a technical school or some sort of further education if that's what you desire or have the opportunity to do. But again, it can become wrong when we start relying on what we can do, what we can mentally accomplish, what we're capable of, because we ourselves are fleshly beings. We ourselves are temporary, and we will pass away from this life at some point in time. You know, a lot of us, we often have people who we consider to be the smartest or the wisest people that we know. Someone who may be a slow, methodical thinker. We may go to them for advice from time to time, or we may have went to them for advice at some point in time in our life. But that person, when they pass away, that wisdom and that knowledge and those experiences, it's gone. Someone who's 70 or 80 or 90 years old can't grant that wisdom, that experience that they gained over those 70 or 80 or 90 years to a 5-year-old child and let them start from there. It just doesn't work like that. Brethren, Solomon says, earthly wisdom and earthly knowledge is not where we're going to find happiness. This is vanity, so don't put your trust and your hope in this. So what's next? Solomon next looked to earthly pleasure to find happiness. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, backing up just a bit, starting in verse 1, it says, I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure. So enjoy for yourself, and behold, this too was futility. I said, of laughter it is madness, and of pleasure what does it accomplish? I explored with my mind how to stimulate my body with wine while my mind was guiding me wisely, and how to take hold of folly until I could see what good there is for the sons of men to do under heaven, all the years of the few years of their lives. So Solomon had 500 or 700 wives. He had 300 concubines. We know that. He obviously drank wine. He had these big parties and all this so-called fun. And I'm by no means saying it's wrong to have a gathering with your friends or family. It's nothing wrong with having a little relaxation time from time to time. It's a good thing to spend quality time with our brothers and sisters in Christ. But when that relaxation, when that experience, when that fun gets in the way of us attending our worship services to God, if it gets in the way of us studying our Bible on a regular basis or spending time in prayer to God, at that point in time, it's become wrong. We can't forget that the experiences of this life, they won't even compare to the experiences of the next life. They won't even be a blip on the radar. You know, my wife Summer and I, we really enjoy going down to the beach. I know it's not for everyone, but we love the seafood. We love fresh seafood. We love sitting on the porch or wherever it may be. And we just get so excited about that. And sometimes, in fact, I get so excited that I can't settle down the night before. And we'll load up and find a hotel room a few hours down the road, or we may drive all the way there. But just to be a little bit closer the next day. But those experiences that we look forward to so much, they won't even be able to compare to the streets of gold, the awe and the magnificence that we will experience being in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We can't forget that the choices we make, the decisions we make, what we choose to do while we live here on this earth, will determine where we spend the next life, whether it be streets of gold with no pain and peace, no suffering, or will it be in hellfire and torment for eternity, with weeping and gnashing of teeth? Brethren, earthly wisdom and, earthly pleasure and experiences are not where we're going to find true happiness on this earth. Those things, they're going to fade away. Eventually, we're going to have to get back to work. We're going to have to go back home. We're going to have to get back to the real world. And those things, Solomon says, is not where we should put our trust and our hope. It's not where we're going to find true happiness while we live on the earth. So he keeps searching. Starting in verse 4, he looks at earthly possessions to find happiness. Let's start reading in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, starting in verse 4, and we'll read through verse 11. I enlarged my works. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I made gardens and parks for myself, and I planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made ponds of water for myself from which to irrigate a forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves. I had homeborn slaves. Also, I possessed flocks and herds larger than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. Also, I collected for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and providences. I provided for myself male and female singers and the pleasures of men, many concubines. Then I became great and increased more than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also stood by me. All that my eyes desired, I did not refuse them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart was pleased because of all my labor. And this was the reward of all my labor. Thus I considered all my activities which my hands had done, and the labor which I had exerted, and behold, all was vanity, and striving after the wind. There was no profit under the sun. I find it very interesting that Solomon chose to use that particular terminology here when talking about material possessions, when he says no profit. Oftentimes when we think of material things, the stuff that we've accrued over our life, we think of things that we purchased because we made a profit, right? Or things that we purchased because it was going to help us make a profit, whether we resold it or used it for a job or whatever it may be. But he says in all these material things, there's no profit in them. How many times in our life have we heard preachers and teachers quote the scripture that says, the love of money is the root of all evil? That's absolutely true. What about lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal? That's true as well. You might say to yourself, though, a large bank account, a security fund, a mutual fund, a big strong house, a nice new car, those sort of things, they give me security. They make me feel comfortable. Brethren, if you're finding true security and peace in these things, where are you putting your trust? Are you putting it in heaven or in man? Is there anything wrong with having a large bank account, a nice house, or a nice car? Absolutely not. In fact, there are benefits to having a large bank account. We can help orphans and widows more. We can help the needy. We can help spread the gospel. We can give to the church. There's a lot of blessings. But when we become a workaholic with no other purpose other than just making more money, then that's just us putting our trust in the things of the world. And in the end of our life, in the grand scheme of things, when in terms of getting to heaven, it's really not going to do us any good at all. Eventually, our kids or our relatives are going to get that bank account. It's going to be split up into a lot of smaller bank accounts. And then they may spend it on a trip or a toy or something that's going to soon be forgotten about. That nice big house that we worked so hard for all of our life, eventually it's going to be sold to the highest bidder, or it'll become so dilapidated it'll just be bulldozed and made room for another one. that nice car that we work so hard for, or tractor or boat or camper or whatever it may be that we cherish so much, eventually it's going to be rusting out in someone's backyard, or it's going to be in a junkyard somewhere all pieced out, or it very more than likely it's already going to be recycled and turned into something totally new that we have no idea what it is. We can't forget that the things of this life are passing away. In chapter 5 and verse 10, Solomon says, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with its income. This too is vanity." You see, worldly pleasures and material possessions are not where we're going to find our happiness. Solomon says, not only will we not be able to find happiness in these things, we won't even be able to find contentment and satisfaction searching in material possessions to find happiness. So he keeps looking. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, starting in verse 8, he looks at earthly power to find happiness. So let's read that, starting in verse 8 of chapter 8. It says, "No man has authority to restrain the wind with the wind, or authority over the day of death. There is no discharge in the time of war, and evil will not deliver those who practice it. All this I have seen and applied to my mind, every deed that has been done under the sun, wherein a man has exercised authority over another man to his hurt. So then, I have seen the wicked buried. Those who go in and out from the holy place, they are soon forgotten in the city where they did thus. This too is futility." Some versions may say vanity. So often we see these big billionaires run for president. Think about people like Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Mike Bloomberg. And what's it all for? I mean, they can have whatever they want to have. They can go wherever they want to go. They can see whatever they want to see, whenever they want to see it, whenever they want to do it, and whenever they want to have it, at the drop of a hat. There's no other really any explanation other than a search for power. And this doesn't just happen to the uppermost elite in our society. It can happen to any one of us. So often, someone who may be a pretty good husband, a caring provider, can get caught up in climbing that corporate ladder. That next raise, that next promotion, that next little bit of money is right around the corner. And oftentimes, it can really hurt the family that he or she is trying to provide for. Now, granted, not every time, but many times. Many times, due to our search for power, our priorities can very easily get out of line, right? Oftentimes, we'll stop studying our Bible and start studying the material for the job. We'll stop spending time with our fellow Christians and start spending more time at work dinners and work functions trying to get a leg up on the competition. We'll start spending more time leading our subordinates to close a deal or finish a project than leading our spouses and our children, being the spiritual example that's needed in the home, helping them to grow closer to God and grow in knowledge of His Word. Obviously, we are commanded to work, but work, just like anything else, can become an idol for us. We must be aware of ourselves. We must be keeping ourselves in check, making sure we know what we're doing and why we're doing it, making sure we're doing things for the right reasons, because power on the job, power in the home, power in the political realm, whatever it may be, it can be very addictive. So you ask yourself, what are you putting your hope and your trust and your efforts into, really? Solomon spent, you know, a whole lot of his life trying to find out what makes man happy. He looked into wisdom and knowledge. He looked into earthly pleasures. He looked into material possessions. He looked into earthly power. And through all of those things, he really didn't find anything. He did find one thing, though. Turn with me, if you will, to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We'll start reading in verse 13. This will be the last passage we read. It says, "The conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act into judgment, everything which is hidden, whether good or evil." This life indeed is short, and Solomon discovered through all of his searches the best way to spend it is by devoting our lives to God, by devoting ourselves to His Word, by overall fearing Him and keeping His commandments. It's about loving our brethren, trying to serve one another, spending time with one another, doing everything we can to get to heaven, and taking as many people as we can with us. This life it's very easy for us to get our priorities mixed up. It's so easy to get caught up in the daily grind, like I said. It's and there's nothing wrong with having physical goals, but when those physical goals, when our vacations, our fun, our recreation, when our material possessions, our search for more wisdom and knowledge, when our search for more power, when the physical things of this life, when the stuff in this life starts becoming before the spiritual, when it starts coming before God, when we start making a choice for physical growth over spiritual growth, at that point in time, we are in the wrong. We're living in sin, and we need to make a correction. When that day comes, brethren, we need to change our priorities. And overall, we need to fear God and keep His commandments. Solomon, the main point he's trying to get across here is that everything we do and everything we see and everything we touch here in this life is temporary. It's passing away. So don't devote your life to the vain things of this world. Instead, devote your life to the next life, the life in eternity. You can find happiness through devoting your life to God, through studying His Scripture, through spending time with brothers and sisters of like-minded faith, to go into things like singings and gospel meetings. We're so blessed to live in an area like this in Cullman County where there's so many Christians nearby. It's a wonderful blessing. Spend time with your brothers and sisters. We can find happiness by devoting our lives to God. Throughout Ecclesiastes, Solomon says that many things are vanity and they're just grasping for the wind. That one fate is going to befall all men. And like I said, obviously that fate is death. When you die, when you pass away from this life, what are you going to be remembered for? Will people say that he or she feared God all the days of their life? They devoted their life to service to God. And will they find peace when you pass away from this life knowing how you lived? Or will they say that he or she was a good ball player? Will they say that they had a lot of money, a nice house, or a big car, a nice job? This evening, if you've had your priorities out of line a little bit, maybe you've been searching for happiness or purpose or meaning in all the wrong places, you can make a change in your life. You can devote your life back to the one who saved you. You can repent of your sins. You can be baptized for the remission of your sins if you need to. If we can assist you in any way, please come forward as we stand and sing.